Welcome to this Rapid Reaction podcast, the shorter version of the Reaction podcast, which we are putting out pretty much daily in response to the crisis. And we try and analyze what we think is going on and what it means in terms of markets and advice. Try to keep track of it. I'm Ian Martin, editor of Reaction. I'm joined by Maggie Pagano, who's executive editor of Reaction. First thing this evening, Maggie, the markets, as we're recording this, obviously America's still open, but another difficult day in London. What happened?
Well, in London, it was devastating this morning. Markets opened, it was about 8% down, and the FTSE 100 went down below 5,000, first time, I think, since 2010. Recovered a little bit, probably because it was just a bounce back, actually. It was two and has closed up down 4.4%. Dow Jones is down about 9%, S&P down about 8%, and the Nasdaq and Europe about the same. And I think the question everyone's asking themselves is there any point to keeping the markets open? Because actually, how do you value any of these companies? I mean, the airline and travel companies are basically technically bust. So actually...
Yeah, I mean, on the basis...
How do you value them?
They're not going to have any meaningful revenues for the next 3 or 4 months anywhere. So they're built on debt, and this is not criticism, it's just a reality of how the economy works pre the crisis. They're built on often quite large piles of debt, and that's how they function, and that world is now changed. You're absolutely right, there is this air of unreality because a lot of stuff other than long-term government debt, of which there's about to be a hell of a lot more as governments try and borrow their way out of this or soften the blow of what's about to happen to the global or is happening to the global economy. Long-term government debt from established, broadly trustworthy governments is, you can value that, but just about anything else. I mean, what is an airline worth or a train company or... I suppose healthcare, you can still.
Healthcare is about the only, and pharma companies.
Yeah.
About the only ones.
Supermarkets are obviously central to the system in terms of what's going to happen. But this is leading already to lots of discussion, isn't it, about what does, and we should maybe do a longer discussion on this because it's not something we can get right to the bottom of in 8 or 9 minutes, but. What the hell does the economy look like in terms of responding to this?
Well, I mean, could we be GDP down, 20%, 30%? The sort of debate about 2 weeks ago was, this a supply issue or a demand issue? The point is, this is a sort of a zero issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is no demand. We've just been told today, no more non-essential meetings. People are now almost, sounds like, other than non-essential, big essential services, working from home.
Yep.
This goes from the local hairdresser right up to the biggest airline, doesn't it? I mean, we've never seen anything that has wiped out revenue on such a scale.
There's a fair bit of criticism around this evening on Twitter, which is I suppose, in one sense, a bad place to look at a moment like this, but people are still trying to track what's happening. And the criticism is that, well, why hasn't the government announced more? Well,
more what? More
exactly. I mean, five days ago was the budget, which now seems like a different world.
Different era.
None of the numbers in that budget really mean anything. And I think there's, there are calls, for example, from various opposition politicians that the government must instantly order restaurants and bars and theatres to close because that'll mean that they can then claim insurance. Now, you have to be quite careful about this because the insurance industry is going to be central to picking up the pieces afterwards. Wow. And there's obviously a timing question. They want a lot of these businesses to draw the obvious conclusion from the fact that no one's turning up and that there is this emergency to wind down their operations. Then there's the question of what does government do in terms of deploying its firepower, and does it deploy its firepower primarily towards businesses or towards individuals? And there's a lot of talk of helicopter money, that famous phrase, and yeah. Mary in Somerset Webb has been saying for a while that this is the FT columnist and Money Week expert has been saying that this is where it's headed, that we might actually be in a crisis that's a once in a century economic disaster like this. You may end up with in 2 or 3 weeks' time, governments being forced into that sort of territory, which the Hong Kong administration did try, didn't they? I think yeah. It was $1,000 they gave to everyone. And that's the idea being that the most direct and simple way to give everyone sufficient money for supplies and for food is to just drop.
Yeah, as you say, it might be the only way, Ian, because I mean, we've had you saw the Fed operation last night, where the ECB have tried their bazooka. Our interest rates are down to historic lows, and there's no amount of monetary easing that's going to get people out in the streets. So how do you pay next month's? Forget mortgages. How do you get people's food?
Yeah.
This is so basic now. Maybe it's basic incomes. Time has come. You just have to say every household in Britain is given £1,000 a month.
Which then gets you into quite dangerous territory pretty soon, because it's then very difficult to unwind, isn't it? What kind of political economy do you end up with in 6 months' time, if that is established as that is the role of the government? And it obviously then comes with, I mean, some people would be worried about deflation, but there are plenty of people also worried about inflation. Oh,
very worried about inflation, if you're going to get shortages of foods and petrol and all the rest.
Inflationary. A lot of this crisis is a supply crisis, as you pointed out earlier, not just a demand crisis. So it's very difficult to know. But
that's new territory, but just quickly, you say, will people get used to it? I suspect the human instinct is always to start your own business, to expand, to try new ideas, innovation. So I sort of think we would get out of that quite quickly. And no one wants to be very few people want to be beholden to a state.
I hope so. Yeah.
Hope so, anyway.
It's going to be essential.
What did you think of Boris Johnson's announcement? You wrote your newsletter and a piece this morning saying Boris has got to pull his act together. Do you think
that on communications?
Did he read you?
I don't know. I've no idea. I did do it as an open letter, not to be presumptuous, just in the vain hope that he would, because I think we're beyond the usual on the communications failures which are happening in related to number 10. I just don't think that the opposition, the operation is serious or professional enough. It has some good people in it, but for complex reasons we won't get into, all to do with Dominic Cummings, it's structured in a particular way which does then enable anonymous briefings to certain outlets. Now
that we cannot have, that has to be
I would normally say I don't really give a stuff, because like any columnist or reporter, I rely on
how we get ourselves
ideas. And of course, but this is not that kind of story. It's a story which requires one consistent message, one singer, one song, and they just don't really have the communications firepower. I do think the press conference was broadly good. It did beg quite a few questions, though. I do get what they're doing on the school thing. I think just about leaving schools open primarily.
A very interesting point. Everybody has been criticising us on the schools, and France, Spain, Italy have closed. And everyone uses Singapore as a really good example, but actually the Singaporeans have not closed their schools. It's very interesting. They've sort of closed everything around. Schools really are probably the last thing to do. So I can see the logic of it.
There are pretty draconian measures happening in Germany tonight, with Merkel announcing it, saying it's like nothing seen in peacetime, restrictions on, but no travel for leisure or pleasure, and orders on bars and restaurants and theatres and that sort of stuff. And the Dutch government made a statement today, which is similar, different pacing, but similar to the Boris UK position. So there's a strand there that may turn out to be completely wrong, but there's a strand of Northern European thinking, which is a bit different from the French lockdown. And as we're recording this, Macron is speaking, and there are really, really draconian measures expected in France. But
not to be stereotypical, there is a sort of temperamental difference between the north and the south, and there is also a weather difference. You know, in Italy and France and Spain, it is warmer than in the north, so more people are outside mixing, socializing, and spreading the virus. So you can sort of see a logic, maybe, as to why they've had to close down more than we in the north have taken. I don't know.
But so you've written a piece for the site for tomorrow about coping mechanisms, haven't you, and about the mental health, psychological side of things.
Yeah, I've sort of written 10 things to keep in mind when you're working at home and stay sane. And it applies also to those who are now perhaps not working full time, but social distancing themselves. And I guess discipline and structure is the real key to it, from what I've spoken to a couple of top psychologists, and they've got a few tips for us.
Good. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. That'll be on the site. So I think if we wrap things up there this evening, I should mention, I didn't mention at the beginning, that our daily email briefing, which is put together by Alistair, Ben, and the Reaction team, and has a sort of take of the day and links to the various pieces, that email is usually just for subscribers. So if you're a Reaction subscriber, thank you very much. Carry on being a Reaction subscriber, please. We're not doing events and that sort of thing at the moment, and our subscribers are very important to us. But we're also making that email available, news and analysis, to non-subscribers. So if there's anyone you think will find it useful to see the day summarized and summed up and analyzed in Alistair's email, then please forward it to them when it lands in your inbox, which I think it will do about between 7 and 7:30 most evenings. So thank you very much. Until then, we'll be back with another Rapid Reaction podcast tomorrow with more news and analysis. Thank you very much for listening.